It's a story about trial and error, hard work, hard times, and the myriad of encouraging little things that give you hope and a reason to go on when it seems uphill all the way. I want to tell you about the people who've been a part of my life and the miles I've traveled. But most of all, I want to tell you about the music, the creation and performance, and the undying love that I have for it, and my God-given gift that makes it possible. I'd also like to give you an inside view of what the life of a professional musician is, and a look at the business from my view and attitude. The truth about the music business is that there's no yellow brick road to get you there. There's no academic degree that guarantees the success you seek. There's no safety net to catch you when you fall. There's only you, your talent, your determination, your belief in yourself, and most important of all, your attitude. While I said there's no yellow brick road, there are some time-proven absolutes, many that I've learned the hard way over the years. I'll pass them on to you, laced with a goodly portion of knowledge earned by beating my head against various walls over the years. I've had many unique experiences in my 8-plus decades. I've ridden on everything from an Eskimo dog sled to the Concorde and Air Force One. I've performed in every state in our union in some 21 foreign countries, in war zones, on an aircraft carrier at sea, in remote forward operating bases where only a few lonely soldiers make up one of the most cherished audiences of all. I've stood at the 38th parallel that separates South and North Korea and knocked a few chips out of the Berlin Wall, worked cattle with the cowboys in Texas and the buckaroos in Nevada. I've seen the polar ice cap, the Negev in Israel, been baptized in the Jordan River and marveled at the beauty of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. I've seen whales in the Pacific, watched the Mustang herds run wild and free across the endless expanse of the high desert country. Now, this account is not written in exact chronological order. I tend to jump around a bit in my narrative, relating memories and lessons learned as they're recalled, and not always in sequence, reliving times and events as they come to me. One memory prompting another, one instance remembered triggering a vivid recollection of something that could well have happened years on down or back up the road. A little different route, I know, but we still end up in the same place. One of life's most important lessons I've learned as it relates to the path I've chosen is like the old song says, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Walk on stage with a positive attitude. Your troubles are your own, and they're not included in the ticket price. Some nights you have more to give than others, but put it all out there every show. You're concerned with the people who showed up, not the ones who didn't. So always give them a show and never look at the empty seats. Chapter 1, First Things First. The first things I remember are frosty Carolina mornings with a cheery fire crackling in my mama's big black wood cook stove. There's no particular reason why you should remember October 28, 1936. Unless you happen to be one of the handful of history buffs who know it was the 50th anniversary of the Statue of Liberty standing in the harbor in New York. The mood of the times is laid back and lethargic. The waning era of the Great Depression and the last year of FDR's New Deal. Polio was a dreaded childhood disease. The Dodgers were in Brooklyn and the Empire State Building was the tallest in the world and streetcars still rumbled down the streets of small-town America. Cokes cost a nickel, hot dogs were a dime, and hem lines were well below the knee. Radio was king, and Eddie Cantor and Al Jolson were big stars. It was 71 years after the end of the Civil War, 23 years since the Wright brothers made their short but historic flight up the coast at Kitty Hawk, and 1 year before Amelia Earhart's ill-fated attempt to fly around the world. But 1936 itself was bland and ordinary, absent of earth-shaking happenings and grandiose events. One thing for sure, the most inauspicious occurrence on October 28, 1936, took place at approximately 2 a.m. at James Walker Memorial Hospital in Wilmington, North Carolina, when 18-year-old LaRue Daniel and 19-year-old William Carlton Daniel had their first and only child, me. The bureaucratic foul-up started on the first day of my life when somebody put a S on the